cough, gasp, and sputter, spinning helplessly down toward the earth. A loss of control, the sky swallows whole, spinning down, down, forever falling down, down, down. Is it entirely
a flightless? Welcome to the Indie Marketers Podcast. My name is Mike McFarlane, and this is episode 9. We're almost at double digits. How crazy is that? Today, I have Juno Award winner, guitarist, and pianist extraordinaire, business owner, Tim McMillar, founding member of the prog rock band, metal rock band, Protest the Hero, also founder of II Music. And that's really what we're going to focus on today. What is II Music? Why am I talking to the guitarist from a metal band about finances and accounting? You're about to find out. So let's jump right in. My conversation with Tim McMillar, Protest the Hero, and II Music. Let's go. But suffering, no deceit, no selfish lies. We stand in our own crypt and we mobilize. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Juno Award winner, guitarist and pianist extraordinaire, business owner, Tim McMillar. Tim, how's it going, my friend?
Oh, it's going great. How are you doing?
I can't complain. You're talking to us today from, I'm assuming it's sunny Florida?
Well, it's starting to be sunny. It has been sunny for the last week. Today has been a little overcast, but I can't complain. It's still, I don't know, maybe 15 degrees outside. And yeah, the sun is starting to come out. I'm just looking out the window and I can see it peeking out.
It's better than what we got here right now because we've got ice on the trees.
my friend said that he had a snow day with the kids. So I was like, okay.
Yep. Same with Carrie. Carrie's at home today. Just the roads were too icy. So typical Canadian February, but you're not experiencing it right now. You're down in Florida, which is awesome. Really appreciate you coming on. Now, for folks that don't know Tim, or folks that do know Tim, you may know Tim as one of the founding members and guitarists from the band Protest the Hero. Tim also runs a financial services company while also being a musician. And I've been fortunate enough to work with you. You've really been day one since I started working on my own. You've kind of been there with me, helping me, which has been fantastic. But how did you get into finances? How did you get into like wanting to start your own business around that?
Yeah, so it kind of came from being in the band, and I always called myself the band dad, where I was not super responsible, but I was the most responsible guy. So starting out, like when we started making any money, I was the one that like set up the bank account and would make the deposits and, you know, make sure anything that needed to be paid got paid. So I kind of came by it that way. And then, you know, as the band grew, eventually we hired a business manager that was helping take care of like all of our accounts payable and accounts receivable and payroll and stuff like that. But I continued to be the person that was like the point man to the business manager.
Got it.
And eventually we had like a tour manager that would travel with us and kind of deal with some of the tour accounting and stuff like that. But I was always kind of overseeing that stuff. And then eventually, you know, we had gone through a few people that did the business management stuff. And I met an accountant who was also, we played in a metal band. And, you know, he was willing to help out do any accounting that Protest the Hero needed. But he said that he'd oversee me, like, doing our bookkeeping. So I started doing bookkeeping and, I guess, still business management, you know, paying bills and sending out invoices and stuff like that for the band. And I just kind of had a little bit more structure with someone checking in every couple months saying like, hey, what's going on here? Or can you explain this or whatever? And then I think from there, I just realized that that was like a service that, like, similar to protest, a lot of bands or musicians, kind of someone has to stumble across it, whether it be someone in the band or the manager. And it was just kind of this job that, like, everyone had a different way of doing it, and there was a lot of room to kind of, like, bring support and try to set up systems that kind of work, that can be introduced. And, you know, sometimes it was a lot of catch up and getting people up to date with their taxes and stuff like that. Sometimes they had a pretty good system going on and it was just kind of integrating. But yeah, that's kind of where this business came from, and where I kind of saw that there was room to kind of to help and support artists with this area of their business.
Did you find that there was, like, a lot of, I don't want to, I guess education, I don't know if that's the right word, but did you find that you had to do a lot of educating for folks? Cause, like, you've educated me on a bunch of stuff while we've been working together. But I think for, when I think of a band, you obviously join a band because you love music, but you also hope that it can be successful. Did you have to do a lot of explaining to people so that they understood kind of, like, the business of being a band?
Yeah, I think everyone was kind of at a different place, but I think a lot of it is trying to train people on, like, developing good financial habits. I think the biggest thing, and I don't know if it's me that's, like, a stickler about this, but I like to have receipts and documentation for every transaction that goes in and out of the business. And a lot of the times, people would go on tour and they don't keep their receipts, or they just kind of throw them all in the shoebox, and, you know, chasing those things down. I think that's been one of the toughest things, but a lot of people are really good at that. When you're like, send me all your receipts, then you just start getting emails about it.
Yep.
Sometimes you have to give people a big list at the end of the year and be like, do you have any of this? And trying to explain to them that every receipt that you don't keep, it's like taking money out of your pocket, that, you know, it's now it's not a business expense that you can be writing off. So I think that's been a big one. I think for businesses that are corporations, trying to make sure they're not just taking money out of the company, because when you're a corporation, if you just give yourself money, it's like taking a loan from the company and it has to be paid back.
Yep.
So yeah, again, some people are really, they understand that concept. You being one of them, it's like, hey, don't do that, because it's a loan and you have to take money out. It's like, you can pay yourself and put yourself on payroll and stuff like that and treat yourself like an employee. Other people, not so much. It's been a little bit of a challenge trying to, like, explain why you shouldn't be doing that and, like, the implications. But yeah, I think I'm kind of like the financial police sometimes, trying to, like, catch things like that as they're happening and trying to make sure they don't turn into, like, a bigger problem.
I can just tell you, just from my own experience working with you, and just for context for people as well, like, so I know Tim personally. He's married to a friend of mine that I went to school, or I knew through school in high school or in college. Just randomly get to know one of the guys who's in one of my favorite bands too, which has been awesome. But I think when I think about 3MG and the process that we've gone through, like, for me, it turned into something more than I thought it was going to be, which is great. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And it's, again, that kind of education throughout, kind of just taking it one step at a time, getting all your ducks in a row, thinking about what's the best way to make the most amount of money or the best way to structure your company. It's been awesome for me to learn. And, like, we just had a call with one of your bookkeepers this morning going through our 2022 return, and, like, just being prepared for that has been so beneficial for both Kim and I, because we have all of our receipts ready. You've got a system for us to make sure we're documenting everything. So I think big kudos to you for being a financial policeman that way, because it puts it puts good business practices on us. So with the idea of II, you obviously, you start doing this for Protest the Hero. what made you like, and just, I guess, knowing other people in other bands, did you just naturally see like a way to kind of integrate your services into working with other bands as well?
Yeah, like a little bit. I guess one piece of the puzzle that I kind of didn't say at the beginning was I got a job at a record label doing bookkeeping for some of their artists.
Got
so
it.
they were smart in that they had like an in-house, so like they had an in-house bookkeeping department, and you know, I kind of came in and took that over, but they were like, we want our artists to have this area of their business together, so we're just going to offer it as like something that the management company does.
Yep.
But so it was there. So like I did bookkeeping for Protest, and then I also, my wife started her own business, so I started doing bookkeeping there. Mm-hmm. And then there was about three artists that I did at this record label. And then I went on Pat leave when my daughter was born, and I took some time off. And then instead of going back to the label, I just kind of asked them if I could keep doing it under my own umbrella. So that was kind of my foundation of clients.
Got it.
And then like I reached out to some other people that were like in my circle, and a little bit of work came from that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, most of the business has been coming from other accountants that have people kind of like asking them about someone who does bookkeeping, and they don't want to do it themselves, but they want to kind of like pass it along to someone else and keep it in good hands.
Yep.
So yeah, it's, I've kind of, and it's, yeah, it is interesting. One of the accountants was Protest's first business manager, and you know, he's kind of just been handing some stuff down and like referring people my way. And the other accountant is the one that does the taxes for Protest right now. But yeah, I find that there's this kind of like middle area where like the big business managers don't, it's not kind of worth it for them to take on like a middle-sized artist.
Yep.
But like it's the middle-sized artists are too big to kind of do it themselves. So they kind of know they need to find this middle ground. And that's kind of where we're falling right now. Or same thing, you know, like working with you, or we're working with a few clients that are outside of musicians and bands. It's kind of these like middle-sized businesses that they don't need a big firm, and they can do a lot of stuff independently, but they just need that like kind of support for a few things.
Well, it's the support and time, and I think especially like in the nature of kind of what Kim and I do, kind of running a service business, time is what we sell. And so when you sell that time, you make money on that time. And it's not that it's not beneficial for me to want to do all of our finances. I just don't have the capacity to do it. And it's to mm-hmm. your point, like when we started off, I think it was, we had a kind of basic kind of foundation in terms of how we were working together. And it obviously picked up once we incorporated earlier this year as well. But that's when it started to, I started to realize like, this isn't where I should be spending my time. And I need people who can like see the business in a way that I can't see it just because I don't know. And that's where I think II has been so great. Like you and Mike and the rest of the team have been awesome. Do you find that there's a different level of, I don't know what the right word would be, like, is there a different level of appreciation working like for someone working with you because you are a musician as well? Like, is there a different type of trust that maybe, you know, things that because you are a musician and you do this sort of work for the band, when you're looking at and potentially bringing on other clients, do they look at that and say like, hey, this guy's also like very similar to us?
Yeah, I think so. I think also that's part of like me feeling like I'm staying with it and like understand. I think the biggest problem I found was working with some accountants is like they're in this like accountant world,
right?
And it's like they don't understand what it's like to go on tour, and like even just like some of the expenses, like yeah, it's just like it's this world that you have to have like lived to like understand.
Yep.
And so I think like that's what's nice when I've found a few people that also are in accounting and in music, and finding that, and just like how they get it. And same thing with a protest accountant. Like when we started talking, like he just kind of understood, you know,
the nuance,
the lay of the land.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I do think there is an element of trust that like, I like to view a lot of clients like peers, and it's like, I really respect them for what they do. And, you know, sometimes they know about the band, sometimes they don't, or sometimes they'll come up or they'll be talking to someone they work with and they're like, oh, that guy's in that band. And they get really excited about that. But I guess it just gives me a little bit of credibility of like someone who's kind of like a working class musician and like gets it in that respect. So yeah, I do think it does bring an element of trust. It doesn't necessarily back my ability as a bookkeeper or a business manager. Like, this guy's just another musician. But I think when we connect on that level, on the music level, then, you know, I can show them that like I've had that experience in the financial world. And, you know, that I think the other thing is, not to say people that aren't from music, they don't care, but I just like, you know, I want musicians to succeed.
Absolutely. And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, and it's just like, it just, you know, I feel like if I see something, you know, I kind of have to watch what my place is with like the job I do.
Sure.
But if I see someone spending a lot of money on tour, you know, let's say they like had a tour bus and I was like, did you ever think of like doing something cheaper? It's like, I'm not afraid sometimes to bring that stuff up, even if it's overstepping a little bit. I'm like, am I just recording the transaction or am I like giving you feedback? But, you know, if I know a way that it could maybe be done a little bit more cost effective, it's like, I'm willing to kind of bring that up to clients as well.
That's, I think, what, and kudos to you for being that way, because I know you've been that way with me when we've been thinking about how do we maximize US payments into Canadian funds, and how do we get the transaction fees going down, and like just balancing it all out so that I'm getting the best bang for my buck with the money that I'm working pretty hard to generate as well. It's nice to again have that different point of view, because again, you see things that I don't see, or you have a different lens on things that I don't see. And it makes it that, like, I already have all that trust in you to find these things, which is great. But again, it's one of those things where I don't know what I don't know. And sometimes it's nice to bring in the expert who's kind of been there and they've done that and they understand the lay of the land. And I know I'm not your typical client, because I'm not a musician.
Well, you are.
Well, I'm not a professional musician.
Yeah.
But I do dabble. No, and it's been great to again just work with someone who has the experience to find the things and see the things that I can't see, or just if you've done things differently in the past, have the opportunity to share that. And I know it's always coming from a good place, because you're always trying to make sure that we're doing the best that we can do as well. Which is awesome. What do you love running II? And maybe I should reframe this. Do you look at running II similar to running Protest, or do you look at them as kind of two different businesses?
Yeah, I'd say that it's pretty like two different businesses. With Protest, like I feel like it's more of a creative business, where like a lot of the planning and decision making is around writing music and performing music and
right
recording stuff like that. And it's like, I feel like there's more, you can really get away with a lot more. Like we could say like whatever we want to do, as long as everyone's on board, we can kind of do that. I feel like a little bit more structured with II, where it's like, these are the services we offer, and like how do we kind of build a client base based around these services that we provide. Like, that's not to say we can't change and add and do more, but it's kind of structured with like these are the skills we have, and this is what we're kind of looking for. Like, these are the clients we're looking for to kind of help in this area.
Yep. Have you had to expand your services as the business has gone on, just based on the needs of the clients that you're working with, or seeing new opportunities kind of just come forward so that maybe you do bring on someone who has experience in A, B, and C because you never had that before, but you see a need for it in the marketplace?
Yeah, it's like we haven't, outside of like the main stuff being like business management and bookkeeping, we haven't brought on too much. I think it would be beneficial. Like the other day, I had a call with a manager that was looking for services. And one thing that she was kind of hesitant about was that we didn't offer tax filing in-house and some other services that, like, she's like, I like working with a company that does it all.
Got it.
So it's like that, you know, like we do usually take, we have relationships with other people that kind of help fill in on services that we don't provide.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to learn to be a tax preparer. It's not kind of on the list of like professional development.
Man. It's not fun.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe, that just wasn't for her, and that's completely fine. But yeah, I think there definitely is areas that we could kind of grow into. But I think for the time being, we're kind of just trying to focus on the main two that we're doing right now.
And that's important. I think if you, and you obviously understand this as well, when you kind of laser in on what you're good at and where your focus is, it just makes it that much easier to run and articulate the value of your business rather than trying to be absolutely everything for everyone, which is tough. And being able to say no when you can't do something or that you don't want to do. Have you had any of those scenarios, either maybe even as a musician running protests or as II, where you've had to be like, you know what, this isn't in our wheelhouse. It's not something we're prepared to take on right now.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit of a yes man, and like in the sense where it's like, if I don't know how to do it, it's like I can figure out how to do it. But there hasn't been, you know, I'm waiting for that day when we take a meeting with an artist that I'm like, oh, this is beyond us.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's not to say they don't exist. I could definitely think of a lot of artists that are, you know, probably way above and beyond like what we could manage at this time. I think the other thing that like I'm kind of waiting for the day for a client to kind of like blow up and like get too big for us and have to kind of like find a new home and stuff like that. But yeah, for the time being, we've found that sweet spot of finding these middle-sized musicians and businesses that, you know, they're kind of in our wheelhouse, and it's been able to work for us.
I think you mentioned earlier, like, you have folks that will reach out to you when they're potentially looking to work together. Have you had, like, have you done any like marketing for II? Have you done any promotion for it, or has it really just been word of mouth and referral that's driven your business?
Yeah, like I haven't done any promotion, and even like from a social media standpoint, we're pretty non-existent. Like we have a website, which is like a glorified pamphlet of like what we do,
right?
And there's been like there's actually one, I have like a submission form on the webpage where people can like, and I get a bunch of spam from that, but there is one inquiry that was like legitimate. And I was just like, I missed it. It took me like a month to get back to them because I was like, I just never like.
Yeah, you never expect it.
Yeah. And then anyways, as we had a conversation and it didn't go anywhere so far. But yeah, it has been referrals. It's either been clients that are happy and like kind of tell a friend or a manager or like I mentioned, accountants that are kind of turning down work and trying to find a good home for us. So yeah, I don't know what's out there if we were to like do promotion. And I always kind of feel like I'm at the max of like my workload. But like when something comes along, I'll usually if it's reasonable, I'll be like, yeah, I can do that. But I think there's a part of me that's like scared to like push it too hard and be like, okay, now I've got all this business coming in and now what do I do with it?
Yep. I feel you. Like I didn't do any, not until Kim joined, I didn't do any marketing. It was all basically referrals and past clients that I had worked with that really kind of helped jumpstart 3MG. And now we've got a presence on Instagram and we've got a proper website and I'm getting a little bit more active on LinkedIn and it's working. It's a little scary because it is working, but but to your point, like it's that balance of like, you don't know what the next step could always look like, but you don't know what it's going to look like unless you try. And it's got to be something you want to do as well. Which I can imagine being a father of two, running your own business, running a band. That's a lot of work to put on your shoulders.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, like, do you find that like you and Kim can only do so much? Like, do you find that you have run up against capacity issues and like, have you dealt with kind of mitigating your workload?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm kind of like you in the sense that I have a hard time saying no. And I'm very much want to be a people pleaser. And so I would say more so early on, I definitely took on more than what I was capable of doing. And I learned my lesson just not through burnout, but just seeing how much, like I was waking up first thing in the morning, like at 5 a.m. and working and then working during the day and then have family time at night and then working at night just to kind of keep up. And it just wasn't sustainable. I've definitely got more to a point now where it's nice and balanced. I think having Kim around as well as kind of a sounding board as to like, what can I take on? What can we expand to and what can we do has been really beneficial. I think it's all kind of a learning in progress for me and for us. The last thing there's two things I always try to manage. One, I don't want to take on so much that it impacts the relationships that I have with other clients, especially I've been very fortunate to have the same, pretty much not the same, it's grown, but a lot of my clients stay on for multiple years, which is great. And so you build that relationship, you build that trust, you build that kind of that equity that you're capable, and you don't want to have all of a sudden, like someone starts to realize like, oh, the service level is kind of going down a little bit. Like it's not, I don't like that. I think it's learning about kind of your own capacity and then also realizing too, like when's the right time to pass the baton to someone else that can do this better than you can, so you can focus your time a little bit better. And that's when I reached out to you because like, I didn't know what it took to start or run a, I knew what it took to start a business. You just did it. But like, how do you manage that business? How do you grow into that business? How do you make sure like at the end of tax season, you don't get a bill where it's like, holy shit, like I didn't expect this. It's that sort of stuff that I had no idea how to do. And so like, I was doing some of the basic bookkeeping when I started. And now we have what I look at as a very sophisticated bookkeeping process for how we all work on the business together. So yeah, I guess that's a roundabout way of saying, like, I guess it's still a bit of a learning and process for me. I'm definitely better with saying no to things or setting just better expectations as well. I think a lot of that too, like if you can set good, clear expectations and then obviously stick to those expectations, then it helps for sure.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I meant to ask you this at the beginning and I didn't. How did you come up with the name II Music?
Okay, so I can't take entire credit for this. But when we like parted ways, when Protest parted ways with our Canadian label and we put out a record independently, we did this like distribution deal through Sony,
Okay.
but on the back of the album we got to put like our own label.
Okay.
So on Volition, which was the album that we did, it says like released by Aya Music. And I think our singer Rhody came up with it, but we found this creature named an I that it's like a nocturnal primate and it feeds on grubs by like tapping on trees and like pulling the grubs out of the tree or whatever.
Okay.
And it does that with its middle finger, so it has this extra long middle finger. And we were kind of the idea was that we kind of like F everyone, we're gonna do it
Yeah.
our way.
Yep.
And that was kind of like same thing with like how I felt about some of the like financial practices in the music industry is that like, you know, giving the middle finger to like the old way it's done and trying to find like a new way. So anyways, if you've never seen an eye, it's a very ugly looking creature with extremely long middle fingers. So it's a perfect mascot.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I want to talk about Volition here just for a minute, just because, and again, for folks that maybe haven't listened to your music, you guys have been around since the early 2000s. And Volition was, I think, your first album that you put out independently, and you did it through Indiegogo, through crowdfunding. And which is at the time it was what, 2012, 2013 when you guys did that?
Yeah, it came out in 2013, so I think it was, the end of 2012 that we probably did the crowdfund.
And I think some bands were trying that, but you guys had incredible success with it, which was awesome. You had the campaign videos, you had all the merch tied to whatever you were donating, and again, building like a sense of community around the album. What was it like, I guess, as musicians, like taking back some of that power and going out on your own and not having a label behind you to kind of to get this album out?
Yeah, like it was very liberating. I think like it was also interesting that like we knew people were out there that liked our music. We traveled around the world, we've seen them face to face. And like we just felt like sometimes the labels weren't like totally connecting those dots, or it's like especially in our case, we had like a US label, a European label, a Canadian label. It was all kind of fragmented where we like, you know, we wanted to reach on that connection and like, you know, when we put it out there and people decided to like, you know, pre-buy our album before we had even completed it, we were just making that direct connection with them where it's like we had an email, we had a name and an address and all that stuff. So yeah, I think I don't know if this is true, but we said like at the time that it was kind of like our last hurrah where we're like,
Yep.
we're either going to make this album or we're going to figure out what else to do with our lives. But I think it really injected a lot of excitement to see that like people still did care about the band.
Well, and you guys, again, you did it so well where I think a lot of people would, and you guys got ahead of this. People could start asking, like, okay, we're going to donate this money if you make more than what you're trying to make, what are you going to do with it? You guys came out basically with a balance sheet and said, here's exactly how we're going to spend all this money that we've donated and where it's going to go. I remember seeing that and thinking, like, holy shit, is it expensive to A, make a record? But B, all the other stuff outside of it, like the touring, the music videos, and all of that. So again, kudos to you guys for leaning in on your fan base for doing that, because I knew I was still wanting to hear more Protest the Hero music. So thank you for continuing to make it. But it was such a cool thing to see a band kind of take control back of their own destiny. And have you found that, like, since then, because it's been, holy shit, 10 years, which is crazy. Have you found that you've been able to kind of maintain and, or not maintain that momentum, but use some of the learnings from that as you continue to grow and push protests out the door?
Yeah, like I think that was kind of like the starting point of like wanting to be as independent as possible.
Yep.
You know, we just continue to kind of do our own thing. We, in most territories, we do own like the rights to our music and stuff like that. So, yeah, and we found that like, I don't know, I don't see a band like protest being like overnight something's going to happen and we're going to blow up and be the biggest rock band. So it's like we're kind of happy where we're at and to, you know, still have some like small growth, but we're happy to tap into the fans that we do have and continue to deliver the best quality music we can. And we do like being the owners of our music and we like to independently release it on kind of our own schedule.
That's, and yeah, and at this, we talked about Volition, and then we have Pacific Myth that you guys did on Bandcamp, and slightly different where you're kind of like subscribing to the album instead of like, I'm trying to remember exactly how it worked. Was it you subscribe to the songs or subscribe to the album? But again, you guys included the fans in a lot of the songwriting process in terms of getting their feedback of like, we're about to write our next song. What should it sound like? What should it be like? And again, you involve that community. Did you find that experience any different than the Indiegogo side of things?
Yeah, like that was more interactive. Like, so the way we had it, we just did a 6-song EP, but we said it was like a subscription to the song and you get a song a month for 6 months.
That was it.
And then there was like a documentary as well, talking about the last album.
Yep.
But you get an episode and a song if you signed up for the second level. But yeah, like it was really interesting putting out a song, seeing the feedback right away. Yeah, like saying, what did you like? What didn't you like? And I don't know how much of that we could have considered to like throw into the next song, but there was an element of that, which was pretty cool. And like, I think the people that were subscribing to that, they got to be a part of like a cool project. And then like eventually the album was released to the rest of the general public, you know, a little bit after the 6-song came out. So yeah, it was definitely like a really quick way to like get feedback and, you know, try to have that influence the rest of the songs as they were coming out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's, I love the indiness or the punk rockness of what you guys are doing and how you've done it and just taking control back and wanting to do things your own way and taking control of your music and getting out to the markets you want to be in and all of that. Like it's awesome to see, especially like you guys have been a band for almost or just over 20 years now, I think, or at least since your first album, which was under a different name, not Protest the Hero. It was a different name.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The only thing we ever released was like a sampler. It had 2 songs under Happy Go Lucky.
That's it.
That's awesome. But yeah, before we released anything like that was just us, we did it. We did the name change. But yeah, it was around 2000. So yeah, it's over 20 years.
Crazy, man. And when did you start II? Around 2012, 2013?
No. My daughter was born in 2018. I think I did 2019.
Got it.
Yes. So, but I was doing some bookkeeping and stuff like that a couple of years prior to that as well.
Have there been, kind of jumping back onto the II side of things, have there been any kind of big learnings running your own company versus like learnings you would obviously get being in a band is a little bit different, potentially different than with the company, but any big learnings running II?
Yeah, well, I think the most challenging thing has been growing the company, where like it started as just me, and then I met a guy who was helping me, and he was like a bass player and a property accountant. So it's like he's been with the company, and he's actually like been a really great fit. And then also a couple of years ago, I hired Mike, who is protest tour manager. And again, like him not coming from a financial background, but like knowing the industry, was like, you know, he's been learning the financial side of things pretty quickly. But yeah, I think just like building a team, we have a few other bookkeepers that are part-time, and just trying to like, I don't know, I think I want to do everything myself. So I have a hard time letting go of like work and jobs and stuff like that. But yeah, like giving people the opportunities to learn and grow, and, you know, not just setting them free and being like, here's all the work.
Yeah.
You know, come back to me when it's done. But yeah, like, yeah, kind of just like training, and like, because I just realized that this company isn't going to, you know, really get going until everyone, you know, you can have more people doing the same type of work. It can't be the me show where it's like, I'm the only one who knows how to do all these jobs. And I think that's kind of like an egotistical thing a little bit, being like, oh, it can't be done without me. It's kind of like,
everyone's replaceable.
Exactly,
I'm not saying you're replaceable, but that's what I've heard my entire career. It's like, you can think you're the king shit, but there's always going to be someone that can do the job the same as you or potentially better. And it's when you realize that's when you can not start to let go, because you can let go, but it is hard. Like, it's not that you don't want to let go, but it's that unknown of letting go of like what's going to happen. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's definitely tough. Any big plans for 2023 with II? Is it kind of just like run it in cruise control? Anything new, anything interesting happening with II this year?
Yeah, I guess like right now it's scrambling to get all the 2022 books done and stuff done for taxes, which is going to come up quicker than I expect for sure. Yeah, I really think growth, like there has been a lot of interest. Like I've been getting a lot of emails and inquiries about, you know, our services and recommendations and stuff like that. So if I want the company to grow, yeah, I have to continue to like build the infrastructure where we can support more clients. And yeah, I think it's like, I don't know how many clients we have, like something like 15. But you know, how do you get to that 20, 30 clients, and like what does that company look like, and what infrastructure do I need to have in place in order to like facilitate that? So yeah, I think hopefully it's going to be another growth year, but I'm going to have to figure out how to make sure we can accommodate everyone. And like you said, you don't want your level of service to drop if you're trying to do too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't imagine running this company without you and your services, and you and Mike and Reesh are just been like integral part to doing what we've done here and just getting us set up, and not just getting us set up, but like getting us set up to like be successful in the future as well. So, like, thank you. I truly, truly appreciate it, man. Like it's nice to be able to do this with someone that you respect, and that just, it's fun to do together. Like, it never feels like pulling teeth with each other, which is nice. And it's not like, we're not talking about the sexiest thing in the world, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm not a big financial guy, but when you can make it fun and you can make it collaborative and you feel like you're both involved, like, again, it goes to you in the way that you've grown you've got some great people, and the services that you offer are great. And again, there's no way 3MG is where it's at today without your guys' support and help. So thank you. Really, really appreciate it, man.
Oh, no problem. And yeah, it's great working with people that you respect. And like, as far as clients go, it's like, you're pretty easy. Like, you know, there's not a lot of chasing.
No.
There's not a lot of chasing. And like, when you have inquiries about things that you want to do, it's like, we want to find answers and like watch you grow. And it's been amazing so far. I think it's been like maybe 2 years
yeah
that we've been working together, but just to see the growth in your company and where you're at now, and just to be any part of that, it's been an honor.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate it. I would be very remiss. I know we talked a little bit about music so far, but I do always talk about music at the end of the episode, and you being a musician, it is even that much more important for me to want to talk to you about it. What are you listening to these days?
So I guess there's a few different things I go through. A lot of the stuff I listen to is stuff that like I listened to when I was in high school.
Yep.
So a lot of like skate punk, Propaganda, NoFX, Lagwagon,
yep,
stuff like that, Bad Religion. I just find kind of like punk playlists. And then like I really like instrumental piano music. So there's a woman named Alexandra Strelitzky, that I, her last album, I've been kind of, I think it was my top album on Spotify last year.
Nice.
And there's also another pianist called Chili Gonzalez, who's a Montreal guy. They're both Montreal. But yeah, I think when I want to chill, instrumental piano or like scores, Hans Zimmer and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, composers. Not too, yeah, composers for sure. And not too much. I'm not too up on the new stuff of what's coming out. I'm kind of more of a nostalgic guy. What about yourself?
I'm the same boat, man. Like I tend to go back to what I listened to in high school, which people are going to laugh at me. Like it sometimes involves some new metal, like Korn and Limp Bizkit, which I think you guys, oh no, that was a different concert. But like, or like In Flames, Killswitch, Trivium.
Yeah.
Like I go kind of back to that metalcore, like 2006 era, especially.
Yeah.
I try to stay up on some of the new stuff. I keep up on your stuff, obviously. But I go back to, yeah, I kind of go back to high school or like mid 2000s of listening. And I don't know why. It's like it's kind of like my own version of classic rock now.
Yeah, exactly.
So like our parents listened to like Zeppelin and all that in the 90s. We're listening to Korn and Limp Bizkit and Deftones in the 2000s.
Yeah. I love going down like a rabbit hole of like old screamo music and just like these weird genres that like I was like really into for a year at a time or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun going back in time and like listening, like, because like for me, music, like, it's a very audio thing, of course, but it's a very visual thing for me too. Like I can put myself back in certain scenarios or places when I hear a song or I hear an artist. Like I keep hearing like Hopes Fall. Like I think they were kind of they were kind of a screamo band. And like I just think about my last year at Humber College because that's when I got into them. So like and seeing them with From Autumn to Ashes at the Opera House and like just I get these good kind of memories of that music, and it just makes me want to listen to it more because it was a good time. So yeah, that's, I'm kind of all over the place. I listen to a lot of like lo-fi chill music when I'm working too. Like if I'm just like heads down, headphone on. But yeah, like I'm kind of all over the place, but if it's got guitar in it, I typically listen to it.
Okay. Yeah.
Very simplistic way of looking at it.
Yeah.
What's going on with protests this year? You guys just got back from Australia, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Any other touring plans, any album plans, any other plans?
Yeah. We haven't solidified anything for touring, but we're trying to do something, in a couple months. And then we're maybe in the fall, we might do a little bit of a bigger, like a North American tour, but it's all kind of, it's not solidified yet. We're kind of working at the fine details, but yeah, we're hoping, like, I think I look at the band as, I'm going to be doing 1 or 2 months of touring out of the year. So that's kind of like what we're striving for. As far as new music, we've definitely been firing some ideas around. We got a handful of songs that are kind of getting demoed right now. And like the way that our process works is we write songs instrumentally, And then we send them to our singer, and he, you know, does his best or tells us to change stuff or whatever. But for the most part, he just sings over what we give him. And then from there, once we have the demos, we'll kind of wait till we have enough and then go into the studio and record. So maybe we might be recording by the end of this year. So maybe something new. I don't know if it's going to be a full length. It might be an EP or something shorter, but new material, hopefully, I guess, early next year if things go to plan.
Anytime there's new protest music, I'm happy, man. I'm a happy boy. So I will be patient and I will wait. But listen, man, I really appreciate you making the time today. I know you're on vacation with your family right now in Florida. Thank you again, just again, for all the help that you've given to me and Kim with running 3MG and just being a good friend. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Any excuse to chat with you. I'm happy.
I appreciate that. How can people reach out to you if you want people to reach out to you?
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned our website. It's II Music, which is AYE music.com. I think my email's on there, or you can use the submission form that I raved about. but that just has some more information about like the company's values and the services that we do offer.
Awesome.
And then I'm on Instagram as well, Tim MacMiller, PTH. So you can find me there if you want to see some music photos.
Are you still making pizza these days?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be, well, I made a frozen pizza last night, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it while I'm down here, but,
no.
But yeah, I think I did. We did like two in the last, in January, we did two pizza nights, which was nice. So
your poutine pizza. Wow. I will never forget that, man. That was delicious.
that one's been a while. That one's one that we talk about a lot, but I haven't made it for a long time. But yeah, that's a Canadian classic.
Absolutely, man. Well, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it. And we have a meeting next week, so I guess I'm going to talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. I kissed a plastic contract rub till I was triggered. I decided that I know that I'd return even if I had to flee. Something outside was broken. Something inside was triggered. It's a long. Thank you so much to Tim for joining me this week. It's such a cool privilege when you get to work with your friends. And Tim and the folks behind II have literally been with 3MG since day one. And Tim was one of the first people I called when I started 3MG because I wanted to make sure I was doing shit properly. And he's literally been there every step of the way as we've kind of matured and grown. And him and his team have just been invaluable to us. So, Tim, thank you, bud. Really, really, really appreciate all the help and support that you've given. And thanks for just being a cool friend, man. Pretty cool to be friends with a rock star, but even cooler to be friends with just someone who's genuinely as nice and down to earth as Tim. And Tim and his family I've been friends with for, oh boy, since college. So yeah, really cool to kind of bring these two worlds together. Metal music, Martech. But just that personal relationship and having someone like Tim and II behind the scenes, making sure everything with 3MG is done properly, is really cool and really awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the music this week. I would be remiss. I feel like I say that every episode, but I'm going to say it again. I would be remiss if we did not play music from Tim's band Protest the Hero. And I kind of stuck in with Volition. We talked a little bit about Volition during this podcast and how it was one of Indiegogo's biggest crowdfunding campaigns ever and really kind of changed things a little bit for musicians in that dynamic of wanting to be with the label versus kind of going independent and doing it your own way. Haha, Indie Marketers Podcast. You see, there is some tie-in. There's a reason I'm talking to someone like Tim. he's done shit like this before. And there's a lot that I think we can all learn from it, even if it's not like an automated program that you would build in Marketo. Talking with someone who's been there, who's used technology, who's used the idea of community to build and grow themselves and ultimately put in a product that won them a Juno. Super, super cool. Anyway, talking about the music, we're talking about Volition. Coming into the episode, we started with a song called Skies. A little gentle kind of coming in. And then we start to kick your ass a bit. But we don't let your ass get kicked for too long. I do kind of turn the volume down and then I jump in. But Skies is a banger. Listen to that track. Listen to Volition. Go listen to Skies. Woo! Banger. Closing out this episode, and what you heard as the precursor to me rambling, is a song called Mist, which as a Canadian is very close to my heart. It's a song about playing concerts in Newfoundland, and Newfoundland is a province on the east coast here of Canada. And I have a lot of family from Newfoundland. I have a lot of family history from Newfoundland, and this song is really cool just to hear about how important it is for them as a band to play in a place like Newfoundland and what the people mean to them when they play there. It's really cool. So yes, it's a banger. Yes, it's a banger header, but it's got a lot of heart and it's got a lot of story behind it, which is really, really cool. So Mist, Skies, Volition, give that album a listen. Let's talk a little bit about the socials. And by talk a little bit about the socials, it's pretty much me just repeating what I repeat every week. You can follow us on Instagram at 3mg.ca. You can follow us on TikTok at 3mg.ca. You can follow us on YouTube, where you can listen to this podcast and where you can also watch Mike Versus, which there's a new episode coming out this week on lead scoring. Mike Versus Marketing Automation, Lead Scoring Edition. Dun, 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 dun. Fire, flames, explosions. 3mg-ca. I think that's my handle. But if you go on YouTube and you search for 3mg.ca, you will find us. Thanks again for listening this week. Really, really, really appreciate it. Got some really cool guests lined up over the next few weeks. So you're going to want to make sure that you're subscribed to this podcast. So wherever you're listening to it, give it a like, give it a subscribe so that you get those notifications when this hopefully quality content comes out. In the meantime, enjoy your day. Enjoy whatever part of the week you're listening to this podcast. And we'll talk to you next time. Peace. Sipping bottles with me.